see. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. And we went through this. Do you ever clean these things? I left my glasses and I had to borrow my wife's. And my goodness. Whew. Okay. Oh, that's good. I like the tie. The tie is good. It's Chinese to tie up. I love it. So in verse 3, it says, chapter 1, verse 3 of Revelation, it said, blessed is he that readeth, they that hear the words of this prophecy, and then keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So we get a blessing in going through this book. We get a blessing if we read it, if we hear it, and if we keep it, okay? Now, it's either a blessing or it isn't. It's either the truth or it isn't. If it's not 100% accurate, like the advocates of all the new Bibles that use Alexandrian manuscripts to put their Bibles together, if I can't know that this is pure and preserved 100%, then we might as well shut the lights off and go in the gym and play volleyball with the kids. But that would be childish, wouldn't it? You know, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. You know how you know you're a man? It's not when Peter, Paul, and Mary says, how many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. No, it's not. It's not blowing in the wind. It's right here in this book. When you put away childish things, you become an adult, a man or a woman, okay? I find it funny. I mean funny. And you see an old guy and he wants to be like a kid again, okay? And you see him, they come from my generation, okay? They got long white hair, all right? It's white because they're old. And they tie it up in a ponytail, all right? And then they're sitting on their Harley, and I got nothing against riding Harleys, brother. And they got their sleeveless leathers on and no shirt, you know? And all you can see is their flab. There's no muscle left there, okay? And you look at his stomach, and he's got three of them, you know? Grow up. Come on. Don't be a child. Or a woman. I mean, a woman who's older than dirt. You'll get that, okay? And she cuts her hair short, and she dyes it pink like the Goyles. And she wears them immoral spandex pants, okay, with a pair of pump high heels. And you see her walking into Aldi's, and she looks like, from the backside, she looks like two Volkswagens trying to pass each other in rush hour traffic, okay? Ladies, don't do it, all right? It's childish. If you would, go to, keep your place in Revelation, but go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, I think it is. Yes, Ephesians 4:14. It says that we henceforth be no more children, okay? Let's act like adults here. Let's know what God's word has to say for us. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind. There's Peter, Paul, and Mary. The answer's blowing in the wind, okay? Thank God. This book is rock solid. It debunks all that. And I mean, he goes on here to say every wind of doctrine, okay? We can tell them to take their false doctrine and go jump in the lake. I wonder if that's the lake of fire. It says, every doctrine, every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Okay, we don't want to be deceived. We don't want to be children. We want to know the true doctrine of God's word. And so we go through that here in this book. And we'll do some more in Revelation, if you would. So turn back to Revelation. We went through Revelation 1 a couple Thursdays ago, but if you go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 20, the Apostle John is talking, writing this as the angel tells him, and he says, the mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, Jesus speaking, and the seven golden candlesticks, The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. And so we're going to go through these seven churches, and we will maybe get one today. But we went through the sevens Thursday ago, and went through how many sevens there are in this Bible, just in this book in Revelation, and then throughout the Bible. And other people have come up to me since then and said, you know, seven is here, and this, that. And I said, you know, that's really, really interesting what God did with the number seven. But there's one seven I didn't mention, and I would like to mention it now. And it's called the seven steps to learn the scriptures, okay? And Pastor put this together. And I listened to it 20 years ago on cassette tape. Some of you might know what a cassette player looks like. And God used that in my life to show me the truth of his holy word, okay? You got to look it up for yourself. Now, Pastor probably has it on disc, and it's in print in the New Common Man's Reference Bible, either the hardbound back there or the new edition with the leather cover. I would encourage anybody that has not read the seven steps to learn the Bible, the scriptures, to do that. Read the entire thing and go and look up every scripture reference that's in there. Read every one of them. I went over them and over them. I had a 50-minute ride to work and back every day. So 50 minutes on the way there, I would put in a tape and listen to it. And on the other flip side of it, I'd listen to the tape on the way back home. There must have been 20, maybe 25 tapes. I don't remember. I lend them out so many times to people that the last time I got them back looked like they sat in the back of somebody's car in the window all summer. The thing was all melted and stuff, but the tape still played. But if you get a chance, and you should, read that and do it, all right? There are seven areas there that he talks about, which is just believing God's word, which we're doing. We believe God's word. And then to pray about it, and then to read it, and then to study it. That takes some time, because what you read, but you need to study what you read. And then it says to fear what God said. You better believe it and fear it, and then obey it, and then speak out about it. Witness to people. Tell people about the things that are true against the things that are false. It's a little what God asked. Listen, there's things in there, they still were going on the sevens. He goes through the seven sevens in the Bible. Okay? And I wrote them down so I don't forget them. It talks about the seven baptisms in the Bible. It talks about the seven mysteries. You know, if you want to be a deacon, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 that a deacon's supposed to hold these mysteries, okay? You need to know the seven mysteries. You should be familiar with them. There's seven covenants, seven gospels, seven judgments. You need to know how you can rightly divide the word of God by these covenants and by the all the sevens here. And then there's seven dispenses of salvation, and know how what takes place in Old Testament, and how God did it with maybe the apostles, and how he did it with the Apostle Paul, or with the Ethiopian eunuch, or with I forget the guy's name in Corinth, okay, the Italian guy. Anyway, it all represents all the races. It represents the covenants. It tells you how to rightly divide God's word. And so in Timothy it says, study to show thyself approved unto God. You'll be approved by God if you study. And you'll be a workman. And you won't be ashamed, because you'll know what the book says. And you'll be able to rightly divide the word of God. All right? So let's go to chapter 2, verse 1. I would add one more to that, and because I have it written down here, but 2 Peter 3:18 says to grow in grace. It's out there on the board. I just saw it this morning. That was great. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. We just need to get to know the Lord more and more and more. And the more you work at it, the more you study it, the more God's going to give you. The more you get, the more you get. So, chapter 2, verse 1 says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. Now, there are seven churches here. Ephesus is the first one. These churches are historically taking place in John's time. They also seem to typify a period of history from about when the first book was written, right after the Lord's death, from 30 AD on to present day, up to the rapture. 2,000 years, these seven churches seem to typify a period of history, and they're also prophetic, okay? So they even go on into the tribulation or the millennium. So, Ephesus. Ephesus was an epicenter in that area. We call it Asia Minor. It's pretty much where modern Turkey is today. And almost all these churches were in a 100-mile range somewhere in that area. And it was an epicenter for travel, epicenter for commerce, epicenter for political power, and it was an epicenter for false and pagan religion. And the name that Ephesus means is desirable, okay? And a name reveals the character or maybe the conduct of that church in that period of church history, that 2,000 years. And so I looked up some things about desirable. And if you would, turn to Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6, verse 2. I'd just been studying Jeremiah, and so I kind of went through this without really studying it. It just popped up, and it stuck in my mind. And I'll begin in verse 1. Jeremiah 6, 1, it says, O ye children of Benjamin, and he's referring Benjamin, Jeremiah is, as the nation of Israel. Not just the tribe, but the whole nation. Gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem. This is historical, and it's also prophetical for the tribulation time. And he said, blow the trumpet in Tekoa, and set a sign of fire in Beth Hacken. It's got two C's, so I imagine it's one of those words like the Jewish people say, okay? I like what Pastor does it. Beth Hak Arem. For evil appeareth out of the north and great destruction. And what he's talking about, the evil that's coming, is Assyria and Babylon. And they're going to destroy the nation of Israel, okay? Because God is fed up. But he says this to them. He said, I have likened thee, the daughter of Zion, to a comely and delicate woman, a desirable. That's what desirable means, okay? It's like a comely and delicate woman, all right? And God loved Israel, all right? He gave them everything, and they adulterized themselves with pagan idols and gods and forgot their God. And so he's going to take, he's going to take measures to correct this so Israel gets it right. He's not going to destroy them entirely, but he's going to take measures. And in the same token, this desirable of Ephesus, the church in Ephesus in Revelation, is God's bride, or Jesus' bride, right? The bride of Christ, where he tells a husband to love his wife as Christ loved the church without spot or wrinkle, desirable, okay? That's what desirable means. So, go back to Revelation. You can hold your place there because we're going to be bouncing around a little bit. So, it's the church of Ephesus, right? These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven gold candlesticks. Christ is always here in the midst. He said, I know thy works. They were a church of works. And thy labor. They labored at their work. and thy patience. They were patient at their labor and their work. And I would just kind of like to go through this a little bit about works. And if you would, keep your place here, but turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Take me a while to get it. Everything sticks here. A familiar chapter, a familiar verse that we have here in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. And for verse 8, it says, "For by grace ye are saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works." So the good works that they're doing in Ephesus in Revelations is not the works of salvation. You can't work at salvation yet. "Lest anyone should boast," okay? Verse 10, "For we are his workmanship." Even though we don't work at our salvation, we're God's workmanship. He created us. He worked at it, and he created us, and we're his workmanship. And we're created in Christ Jesus, and here's where I'm going, unto good works. And that's what they were doing, the good works, okay? And the Bible, if you look up the word good works, it's only in the New Testament, and you go through that whole reference of good works, you'll see the good works. Good works is being a good mom at home, being a good mother, and having a decent home and a house for your husband and family, okay? Good works is being a deacon or a pastor. It says so in Timothy. There's several other good works, and these people were doing the good works here in Ephesus. And he said that we should walk in them. We should walk in the good works, all right? So that's what they were doing. And back to Revelation. So they were laboring in these works. They were patient in them. And he says, "And how thou cannot bear them which are evil." Okay, and we're going to look at evil for a little bit and probably have to close on this. I'm not going to get anywhere near what I'd like to get through here. But before, when I told you that Ephesus was an epicenter in the region, the Temple of Diana was there. It was big, okay? I mean, Paul, the Apostle Paul, got caught up in this the tradesmen and the silversmiths and the goldsmiths of Diana. And Diana had immorality in their worship service. The kind of immorality that God did to Eli's two sons back in 1 Samuel. And he killed them because they were with the temple harlots, okay, the temple prostitutes. And that's what's going on in the Temple of Diana, and it's in Ephesus. And guess what? Some of them people get saved. Okay? They join the Church of Ephesus. They're saved. They're carnal Christians. They're baby Christians. And they want to bring in some of these things that was part of their life before in the Temple of Diana. And it says here that they would not bear them which are evil. There were some people here that knew the Word of God and the Holy Spirit was working with them. And they said, we're not doing that. We're not doing that evil. I'm going to go through evil just a little bit. And if you would, hold your place here again, and we'll go back, or we'll go to the beginning of the book in Genesis. Let's see. Genesis chapter 2, verses 9. It says, Genesis chapter 2, verses 9, it said, "And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." God is aware of evil. God is not evil, but he let this tree be there, and I don't know all the context of it, but evil is present, and God is allowing it, and he knows it, okay? And evil's a part of life. If you would, go to verse 17, same chapter. It says, "But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." That's the covenant God made with Adam. That's one of the dispensings of saving that he did. Adam ate of the tree and he died spiritually. He did not die physically that day. and he lost his spirituality. And God had to renew it some other way, and he couldn't let him eat from the tree of life, okay? Because then he would be a corrupt man who could live forever, and God did not allow that, and so he barred the Garden of Eden from him. But evil was there. Chapter 3, same book, Genesis chapter 3, verses 5. This is Satan speaking, and chapter 3 is where he casts doubt on the word of God. And he tells Eve in verse 5, "For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods," little G-O-D-S, there's lots of them in high places, "knowing good and evil." God's going to let them know evil. He's going to do it. And so evil comes on the scene. Let's see, verse 22, same chapter. "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take of the tree of life and eat and live forever," he bans him from the Garden of Eden. But he allows man to know good and evil. Now man knows good and evil. This is chapter 3. Let's go to chapter 6. Same book, Genesis chapter 6. Verse 5. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Six chapters, and evil wipes out the whole world, wipes out every man, woman, and child on the face of the earth. It's continually evil all the time. I counted the pages in this Bible. There's almost 2,000 pages, 1,889, 10 or 11 short of 2,000. I took just the 2,000 and divided it into 10, and in 10 pages, that's one half of 1%. There's 99.5 more percent of the book to go, and in less than half of 1%, we're going to destroy the earth because of evil. That's amazing. That evil's powerful. And these people in Ephesus would not tolerate evil. Let's go to Hebrews now, chapter 9, 14. How this works out today. That was the beginning. Hebrews 9:14 says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, how much more shall he purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" God's blood is powerful to cleanse us and to purge us from the evil that's in our imaginations that was back there in Revelation chapter 6. We just have to take God's word and believe it and obey it. I'm not saying that it's the easiest thing to do, but the sooner you do it as a young person, it can get easier. You can be stronger. You can have the strength and the power that God gives. He can give it to anybody. But take advantage of the opportunities that you get that God gives you in life. Okay, I'm just going to close with this. In James, book of James chapter 3, right after Hebrews should be James. James chapter 3 verses 12. And I'll close with this. I'd like to do more. I got pages of it, and we'll see where we're at, but it's close to time. James 3:12, if I'm right. I may not have the right... Oh, 13. Let's go to verse 13. "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works." Okay? Same thing we're talking about in Ephesus in the good works. "Let him show out of his conversation, a good conversation, his works with meekness and wisdom." But if you have bitter envying and strife, when we envy things in the body of Christ, if we envy to be a deacon because you think you're a better person qualified than that deacon and you want it too bad, don't go there. Don't go there. If you envy to be in the sound booth or to be the somebody that leads the music or a Sunday school teacher, and you envy it because this person is doing it and you don't, it says, come strife. This wisdom in verse 15 descendeth not from above, but it's earthly, it's sensual, it's devilish. Okay? Back then, evil corrupted the world in 6 chapters. But God said, you can do it right here today, this kind of evil, in the church, as believers. Verse 16 says, wherefore envying and strife, there is confusion. And every, not good work, every evil work, okay? We can do good works, we can do evil works. It's up to us. The Bible says you should know it. I believe the 7 steps would help anybody to know that, and then to go through the book verse by verse and study it, all right? I'm going to close there. There's so much more, but as far as the Ephesus church, they got to this point, and there's a lot of other things there that God shows us that we need to know, and that is also historical, and it's also prophetic, and it's a blessing. And it's been a blessing to me to be able to go through God's word, and he enlightened me to show me some of the things that he has for me and for everyone. I'm not a preacher. I'm not really a teacher, but God has showed me some things, and I pray that he shows you whatever it is that he wants to use you for, okay? And someday maybe everybody can come up here and take a chance, or a chance to preach, not a chance, but a chance to preach and to teach and to just do whatever God wants them to do. It's been a blessing. So I'll close here in prayer, and I thank you. Father, we do thank you for your great love and goodness, and for every opportunity you give us to know what we should know while we're here on this face of this earth, that we might grow in grace and increase in the knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and prepare our hearts to be with you, Lord, someday, not to be unclothed, but to be clothed with you in your righteousness, in your holiness, in your glory. And Lord, we pray for our prayer request today, Lord. We ask you, please, to meet those according to your will. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.